that happens. And in fact, today what I'm going to look at is the idea of the church as the ecclesia, where we get our word ecclesiastical, meaning church things, generally speaking today. And then later we'll look at the idea of the church as the liturgia, or the liturgy, which is the worshiping church. And then another one as the church as koinonia, which is fellowship. But today it is ecclesia. And ecclesia means those who are called out. The called out ones is basically what that means. And in the early church at that time, it was not a religious term at all. It wasn't a Christian term. It was a term about city government, municipal government. And the ecclesia was the group that was called out to lead the city or the municipality, or in our case, the county. It would be like the Board of Supervisors and all those who work with the Board of Supervisors here in Goochland County. And that was the idea. Jesus and then Paul took that word and applied it to the church, and the church being the ones called out to respond to and serve God on behalf of the entire world. That's who we are. Now, how does that work? Back about 1983 or so, I was a young vicar. Now I'm an older vicar, of course. Then I was a younger vicar. And there I was in Pennsylvania. And just right down the road from the church was this young couple, Andrea and David. And for Andrea, it was a second marriage, and they were wanting me to do their wedding. And David, this was his first marriage, and it was all very excited. They were in their early 30s, and things were really looking up for them. And they were loving life and each other and their new house and all kinds of things. And we did the wedding, and we went on, and within a year, David died very tragically in an accident. Just awful, as you could imagine, just awful. And we were getting ready for the funeral and the burial, and Andrea says to me a couple of days before that, just brokenhearted and weeping as you could picture, she says, "I just don't understand. I just don't understand." I didn't understand either, and I didn't know what to tell her. But I listened and entered into as best as I could to encourage her to just say more, tell me some more, the grieving and so forth. And we went to the funeral, and I shared out of the gospel, as I would normally do, and about the resurrection. And we go out of course, and there's the funeral procession. People are getting into their cars, and she, instead of getting into her car, comes up to me, and she was kind of a tall person, and she just goes, takes her arms and goes like this, right? Almost a stranglehold. And she's still weeping, and she says, "Now I understand. Now I understand." Now, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know what she understood. I don't know what she received, but she received what she needed from the Spirit of God in the gathered community. She was part of the ecclesia, part of the called out ones. And even though she was in a position of great need herself, she was able to come together, stand with everyone else, and receive from the Spirit of God something that she needed deep within her soul. Being in that position, answering the call of God to come and be a part of my body, be a part of my church, put her into the position to receive from the Spirit of God in a manner in which she may not have been in otherwise. That doesn't mean that God wouldn't have been trying to reach her or encourage her or build her up or heal her. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that she, having had that nudge in her life and the whisper of the Spirit of God saying, "Come, come and join my people," when she said yes to that, sometime previous to this whole incident in her life, she was in the position to receive. And being in the position to receive and having received, she was then on the platform to walk that out into the world and be of some service to others. I don't know if she was ever some service to others, because we really lost track of her very soon after that. I don't know where she is today or really much of anything, but I know that that moment when she stood in the ecclesia, the called out ones, she received what you receive when you answer that call. Now, there's a way to get there. And it is a process more than a one-time event. And that process can be deepening all the time in your life and enriching. And there are times when it will just kind of lighten up and not be as deep. So like the waves of the ocean. It comes in real good sometimes and then recedes. Real good and then recedes. And that would be the way it is. That would be normal. But what you want to be is in the position to receive the wave when it comes in. That's how the Spirit of God can work. Friday and Saturday, I was, just yesterday and the day before, I was leading a retreat for people who were thinking that God is asking them to be ordained. You know, it was part of the diocesan thing I did. I did half of the retreat. They were trying to listen to God to see, am I supposed to be ordained, not be ordained? What's God want me to do? And what had happened is they got there to that place. They said yes to go on that retreat because they felt the nudge of the Spirit of God. Some of them for years. Some of them just for years. And they're finally beginning to say, all right, God, what are you telling me? What do you want me to do? And all of them had rich church experiences and doing all kinds of things in various places in the church. They were part of the called out ones. They said, yes, I'll be part of the body. And then when you're in the body, you hear at a deeper level what God has for you. And I saw that yesterday and Friday. So that's another picture of how it works. And it works that way for you and me. And the one person in today's gospel reading who I think illustrates that the deepest is the widow who gave the penny compared to the rich ones who gave large amounts of money in the treasury. There's something about what she did that is a step for us to take. So I want to point that out a little more and just show how that puts us into the position of receiving when we are in the called out ones. We're in the body that's been called out. So, and you're familiar with the story, and of course we just read it. There's Jesus in the treasury, and his disciples standing around, and they're watching people put offerings into the plate or whatever they had. Maybe it was a big bucket, I don't know, but there's something. And there they are, and the rich people are coming by putting, obviously, large amounts of money in there. And the widow, as you remember, puts a penny in there. And Jesus says to his disciples, you know, that widow, she's caught it, and the others, they haven't. That's my own loose translation of what Jesus said. Well, what's that about? Why would that be the case? What's that got to do with answering the call of Jesus to come into his body? Well, I think it's this. The rich ones were giving into their commitment for the temple and the institution of religious practice to be solid. They were committed to an organization and to what was needed for it to keep going. And they gave to that. They gave out of their resources to that. It's a normal, wonderful thing to do. And many of us do that with many organizations, non-for-profits all around, for good cause and to the help and relief of many people. The way the widow contrasts with them is this. she gave to the Lord out of her life. That's a different thing than giving to the organization out of your resources. She put herself into the place where her whole life was open to what the Lord was going to give to her. She was saying to the Lord, everything I have, all my life, all my resources, all my emotions, all of my love, all of my time, everything I think, it is all yours. I want you to have it. She gave out of her love for Jesus. That, I believe, is one of the deepest ways to answer the call to come into the ecclesia, the called out ones of God. See, when the rich ones here were giving out of their resources into the institution and the organization, what they're saying is, we'd like to see this institution be this way. We have a picture of what this organization should be like, and we're going to give so that that picture can come about. Which is fine. You know, most of the time, that's a really good picture, and people are benefited. What the widow was saying was, Jesus, anything you want, any way you desire it, anything that's in your mind, whether I know what it is right now or not, I give myself to that. I don't need to know how you want it to be. I need to follow you and be close to you. And that's what I want my life to be like. That's what it is to be in the middle of the ones who are called out. That's what our young, short-term parishioner all those years ago was in the middle of when at her newly married husband's funeral, said, now I understand. In some way, somehow, she had given all of her life at that moment to Jesus in a way I couldn't describe or even recognize, but she did. And she received life from him. That's what happens in the middle of the church that is called out. The ones who are called out making up the church, we receive his life. We may not know exactly what's going to happen next. We may not be able to describe everything that's going to take place. We may not be able to have an awfully detailed description of what's in our heads for what this ought to be like. But we know him. And we love him. And we want to be with him. And what happens is that the goal of our lives becomes to be the person who is following Jesus no matter what is going on around us. No matter what turmoil there is. No matter what's thrown our way that we don't understand. No matter what's happening in our lives, we want to be the ones who follow him, and we want people around us to look at us and say, that's a person who follows Jesus. No matter what happens. When it just goes all wrong, because you are called into the ones, into the group that Jesus died for, people can look at you and say, it all went wrong for them. They followed Jesus, and they became more like him. That's what that is. That's what it is to be called out. And we're called out for the sake of the world. And one of the things that we consider every year at this time, of course, is our own financial giving. And this gospel obviously lends itself very directly to considering what we would give for St. Francis, here at St. Francis. And I just want to reiterate a little bit the approach that I've had in recent years that I've shared with you. I'm not going to ask you to consider giving equal sacrifice. I've never seen equal sacrifice actually be equal across the board. I'm not going to ask you to consider a percentage unless that's helpful to you. I've never seen percentages be fair across the board. What I mean is those who are have a huge amount of money, giving 10%, it'll be less of a sacrifice than the one who has a little bit amount of money giving 10%. It's never equal. It's never fair. It's never... Well, you get the idea. I also don't want to ask you to give because we need to meet the budget. I'll tell you what, we meet the budget and the budget will run away. What's that? It's not going to stay right there. We can never quite meet the budget. Everybody okay? All right. See, and I know people have told you that, and I've told you I don't want to do that. But just to remind you, I just don't find any of that fair or right. I don't want you to give because you want the organization of the church to be a certain way. I want you to give because you're giving your whole life to Jesus. I want you to give what Jesus asks you to give. Whatever that is, I want you to give what Jesus asks you to give more than anything else. If Jesus asks you to give and it's less than a tithe, I want you to give what Jesus asks you to give. Because we follow Him. And we don't build the church, He does. We follow Him. We do what He says. We put ourselves in the position to receive from Him and then follow after that. That's the only way I know for it to be right. What that will result in is us giving our whole life to Jesus. Every corner of it, every aspect of it, every fear, every depression, every anxiety, every victory, every talent, everything, every memory, everything we want to hold back and everything we want to give to Him, it's all His because He is the Lord of all. And that includes everything we have. So if you would consider that, think it over, pray about it. We do have some pledge cards today. If you want to declare a pledge for next year, that's certainly fine. That helps the vestry a great deal. And you can put something on there. You can change it later if you want. That's absolutely fine. Especially if Jesus tells you to give something different later. Please do change it immediately when He says that. We're not going to hunt you down. Send the God Squad to your house or any such thing. We're just going to encourage you to do what Jesus asks you to do. And then when we come together to encourage each other and build each other up so that we're able to hear and respond all the time. I hadn't thought about how to give out the pledge cards. Do you think now's a good time to do that? Yeah, when you leave, take one, okay? That'd be great. If you forget, we'll hit you next time. Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's not that we're not concerned about that. It's very important for our planning. It's just that doing what Jesus wants you to do is far and above the most important thing, above all of that.
Please do that. Would you stand?
Lord Jesus, we give you everything of our lives right now. And as we come this morning to this table, when we come forward to put our lives into your hands for the glory of your name. Amen.